Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You will recall several weeks back, I began a series of messages from this section of Scripture here, this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. We began a series of four messages, and this morning I wish to bring the third of four. Will you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, once again reading, beginning at verse 29, it says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Folks, our nature is to glory in what we do. I want to share, before we go any further with that, I want to share a sin. I'm going to confess a sin to you. I'm not going to stand in some box with you on the other side of some screen or something. You're brothers and sisters in Christ with me. Now, I'm not going to share all the sins that go through this ugly mind before you, with you, but I'm going to share this one with you because maybe you too will understand what this sinner is talking about. That no flesh should glory in His presence. As some of you know, I've been going through for the last, for a long time, books that Don Fortner wrote on certain subjects. Those of you who've been joining us on Friday Night Bible Studies, you recall one of those was Going Home. It was a book that Don wrote about the glory that are given in Scripture. And I had spent some time before I retired, unable to really have much time studying, so I used Don's books as a reason to bring a Friday night Bible study. Sunday mornings were just not enough. I understood that. In fact, our dear sister Cheryl was the one who brought that before me, and I thank the Lord for her for bringing that before me. And it was beneficial to us for quite some time. But I'm retired now. I have no excuse. As your pastor, I need to be involved in my God's work, in His Word. My job is not just to stand before you on Sunday mornings and bring you some message that the Lord has laid upon my heart. It's to study God's Word, seeking a message. My prayer is this: Lord, what would you have me bring these dear folks? These folks who go back into the world, who spend all their time during the week in the riles and the confusion, the chaos of a sinful world. What would you have me bring them on a Sunday morning? And some dear friend pastors of mine had been encouraging me to set the books of another writer aside and bring before you a message that the Lord had given me. And so, a little while back, before I got sick, I began with the first message where we turned away from Don's books and I began to bring some studies of my own. And then I got sick. And as I laid there all that time, I thought about what I was going to bring for the next Friday night Bible study. And I knew what I wanted to bring. And then Friday night came, just this last Friday night. And I thought to myself, ooh, here comes the sin that I want to confess. Ooh, the Lord got a hold of me Friday night. I mean, He got a hold of me. I brought a lesson. That's what was in my heart. That was what was in the heart of this sinner before you this morning. Brother Norm Wells, he assured me, he said, "You know, John, Friday night, I'll be there. And he wasn't. He got called away some other things. And as I sat there afterwards, I thought to myself, thank you, Lord. Because you see, that was John Reeves' reason to boast. Look how the Lord got a hold of me, Norm, was what was in my heart. And our God, in His grace and mercy, when I was yet dead in my heart with sin, made it His way, not mine. I told Norm that this morning. I said, I want to thank you for not being here. He started to apologize. I said, stop right where you're at. You don't understand. John's heart was evil. It might have been a blessing to those who heard the message, and I pray that it was. I'm thankful I didn't tell you about what was in my heart that night. You might have not heard the words of God that we talked about. But our Lord says here again in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, but of God, but of God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus. It's nothing of us. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God has made our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all things to us. We may not act like it at times. We may go out into the world and act foolishly. We may have things go through our heart like mine did on Friday night. But our Lord will bring us right back and show us. That's why He lets us fall into temptation sometimes. It's not to punish us. Our punishment was laid upon our Savior on the cross just over 2,000 years ago. We've been punished for our sins. I was punished for that sin Friday night. It was laid upon my Lord. And so have yours. When He said it is finished, it was finished. It was done. Judgment had been laid upon Him. This one who cried Almighty, who God Almighty has made unto you and I, unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why? Why would God do that? That as according as it is written in verse 31, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our first message was focused on that word wisdom. Our wisdom was once a carnal wisdom, an imaginary wisdom. We may have been wise in what we see in the world. You know, I'll tell you, there's a wise man that used to come to this church. His name was Steve Doyle. Did you know Steve Doyle was a man who was invited into the White House as one of the chief of staff for the president? I'll be honest with you, I don't remember which president it was, but Steve was a very, very wise man of this world, but he would have been the first one to stop you and say, you know what, the only wisdom I have is in my Savior. It brings all of us to a level. It doesn't matter what you know of this world. It doesn't matter what you can do in this world. We have the same Savior. We have the same wisdom. It's the wisdom of everything in Christ Jesus our Lord. We may think that we're wise of this world, but we have no understanding of the truth. How often have you heard me say, you want some truth about what's going on? Well, stop looking at the news on TV. Stop paying attention to those guys down there in that little building, because this is truth. Our Creator, Christ Jesus, that's truth. The truth of God, in fact, is enmity towards you and I. That's His word, not mine. Oh, John, I knew all about the Lord since I was a little kid. Really? That's a long time. Are you sure? Is that your wisdom or is that the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is that by the preaching of His word, thou shalt be saved. The word of God is faith in Him, the gift of God. Thou shalt be saved. Truth is enmity. The truth of God's word is enmity against it. In fact, you and I rejected it. We'd have nothing to do with it. We would not seek it. We would not understand it. Yet our text says, but of Him. but of God. Or in other words, because God, because He first loved a people, it says, are ye. But of God are ye. That's the people. The are ye. The ye's are in His Son, Christ Jesus. And this Christ of Holy Scriptures has been made unto you and I wisdom. He has been made unto you and I righteousness. There's no righteousness in this flesh of ours. Our righteousness is in Him. And He has been made unto you and I sanctification. You know what that word means? That means to be set apart. That means to be made holy. He is our sanctification. You don't get any better than what you are now in this flesh. You do grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that sense, we may become more of something, but it's not more of something in His flesh. It's more in knowledge of who He is. Think about that for just a moment. When you first heard the Word of God and the Lord spoke to your heart, do you recall what was going through your mind at that time? I'll tell you what was going through mine. What in the world is going on? I ought to be out there on my Harley on Sunday morning, riding with all my buddies down to the next bar. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't care if you go to a bar or not. That doesn't matter to me at all. But that was what was on my mind on Sunday mornings. Let's get the leathers on, go for a ride. What is going on with John Reeves? I didn't know. Today, I know who the Lord is much more than I did then, but that's because the Lord has kept me in His Word just as He is doing for you right this very moment. Keeping you in His Word, coming to the Word of God, having the things of God expounded to us throughout the prophets, beginning at Moses and all the way through to the end of the book. He is our sanctification. He's the one who sets us apart. He's the one who makes you and I holy. There is nothing in this flesh that we can call holy. There is in our heart, in our spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells there in the Spirit, and He is our holiness. Lord willing, next week we'll look at that next word, which is redemption, payment, redeemed. And then, of course, in verse 31, once again, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, folks, you and I have nothing to glory about in our flesh. Our flesh is full of sin. There's enough sin in this little finger right here in John Reeves. There's enough sin to condemn me to hell. Yet this one for whom we can glory in, this very one that's speaking of that no flesh should glory in His presence, has been made unto you and I our substitute for our sin. He is our spiritual wisdom. Listen to the words of 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's the one we're talking about here. This is the one, this Christ Jesus, but of Him are ye in Him, who God has made unto you and I wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is our righteousness, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, for you and I, for His people, for all that the Father hath given Him, He who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in Him. I don't know about you, but that's something that just blesses this sinful person before you in great ways. He has been made my sin. As I mentioned a moment ago in confessing that sin before you, that sin, along with everything else, was laid upon my substitute. And He is my sanctification. He is my holiness. He is my setting apart. He took me out of the world. I don't know what the reason I came here for that day, other than that I wanted to cry on my brother's shoulder. I had no idea that God was going to reach into this cold, stony heart and take it away through the preaching of His Word. And every one of you who know the Lord and know the experience of grace. You see, grace has to be experienced. It's not something you can just teach. The Pope knows all about what this book says about grace, but he has no experience of it. How do you know that, John? Because he doesn't preach the word. A man with that kind of power who doesn't preach the word knows nothing. If God has called you out of darkness, you know exactly what I mean by experiencing grace. And we know that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our Lord is our sanctification. He is our holiness, our setting apart. He is our holiness, that we are set apart from this world in Him. Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 2. Mark your place. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Can you make yourself holy? Can you? There was a lady one time who brought her granddaughter, I believe it was, to church here. Most of you have heard the story before, but maybe there's some who hasn't. And as Gene Harmon, our pastor, was standing here preaching, I think it was on an evening service, as a matter of fact, he was preaching on the depravity of man. You know, we have nothing. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. What can a dead person offer God? We have nothing. And Jean was preaching on that subject, and the woman got up with her grandchild, grabbed her grandchild by the hand, and she goes, "I'm not some kind of sinner like that," and walked out. That was you and I at one time, folks. We were just like that. We may not have got up and walked out. Was that because we were so brazen that we never even entered? I never went to church. I went to church one time a year. "Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day?" "I'd like you to go to church with me, son." "Okay. Okay." And I'd be there. See how much better a kid I am, making my mom feel so good. You know, I've talked to her about it since the Lord's called me out of darkness, and she just laughs and she goes, "Yeah, it was actually pretty hurtful." Because she knew it meant nothing. It was actually pretty hurtful. Can you make yourself holy? Can you set yourself apart from the carnal things of this world? The carnal thoughts? I'm here to tell you this morning that dead men can't do anything. A truth of Scripture that all natural men fight against is this: we all died spiritually in our daddy Adam. Romans 5:12, the truth of God says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That poor woman, and that really truly is what it was, when she got up and walked out, she had no idea of truth. She thought she did, but she didn't. Remember last week our brother Mike Lovelace came before us and gave a message about how he thought he was doing the right thing? He thought. Well, you know, he said, and I may not be quoting him exactly how he said it, but it was to this point, I believe. He said, "You know, I know I'm not doing everything perfect, but it's good enough." Isn't it? Isn't that what OSHA would look at him in when he was the safety manager for his company and say, "You know, it's okay you missed that, but it's good enough." No, it's not. Whatever you have in your flesh is not good enough and never can be. We need perfection to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is His perfection that we are in. It is His perfection that makes you and I holy. It is His perfection that sets us apart from the world that we once walked in. By nature, we are born sinners. We sin because that's what we are. There is no spiritual life in us unless the Lord comes to us in His grace and mercy and says, live. You know, the Lord gives us an example of that about a baby. Now think about this for a moment. Think about this. The Lord gives an example of that very thing you and I were in before He came to us. He says, there was a baby in a field. The mother had just born the baby and left it there, covered in its blood and mucus, as babies are when they're born, with nobody to take care of it. And God walked by and said to that baby, live. Just as He did for you and I when we were yet dead in trespasses and sin. This is the miracle of what we call the new birth. Our Lord said to a man in John there, He said, yet ye must be born again. John 3, verse 5, Jesus answers, and verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, said, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And that new birth, folks, is as much out of yours and my hands as our natural birth was. Did anybody here have anything to do with where they were born, who they were born to, or how they were born? Did God come to you before you were ever a seed in your mother's womb and say, you want to be born here? Is this one good enough for you? No. We had absolutely nothing to do with our original birth, just as we had absolutely nothing to do with our spiritual birth. A dead soul must be given life. Lazarus, who laid in the tomb dead so long that he stinketh, had to be given life that he could come forth. We read about that very thing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, speaking of Christ Jesus, together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And then again in Colossians 2 verse 13, we read it this way. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened. That means given life. Together with Him, together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Are you with me in Hebrews chapter 2? Look with me at verse 6. Of chapter 2, and we'll read through verse 3 of chapter 3. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angel. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. But thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Our Lord became flesh, a little less than the angels, that He might suffer our death in our stead. That's the whole thing about going to the cross. You know, people want to say, oh, He went to the cross and died for anybody that'll come to Him. If you'll just come to Him. You realize that they're calling God a liar when God says you were dead in trespasses and sin? You can't come to somebody when you're dead. Lazarus couldn't come to the Lord. Lazarus had to have life before he came out of that tomb. But we see Jesus, verse 9 again, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned. Oh, the glory that goes to our Savior for suffering of death. crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For every man that believeth. You'll notice in some of your Bibles it has a reference there to John 3:16. Whosoever believeth. That's the every man that we're reading about right here, right now. Not all the world. For if God died for all the world, then all the world would be saved. But they're not, are they? The whosoever that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, for it became him for whom all things and by whom all things are bringing many sons unto glory. Notice that it didn't say all there, but many. Folks, there's no number you can put on God's people. How dare you and I stand in judgment of those around us? We don't know. I don't know if that man in the bed next to me was a child of God or not. But I'm praying for him anyway. Because maybe he is. People prayed for me before the Lord called me out of darkness. People prayed for you when you were but just a baby. I know, your grandfather was one at least. Pastor Gene Harmon was one. We pray for those that God brings across our paths because we do not know when we may be entertaining saints. And bringing many sons into glory to make a captain of their salvation. Our captain. Our victor. The victor over our salvation, making them perfect through sufferings. For both he, verse 11, that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing, or in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Great is the mystery of godliness. God became flesh that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Verse 1, chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, wherefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, wherefore, you who have been made holy, not by anything you have done, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, partakers, as it says in verse 1 again, of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful unto all his house. For this man, this Christ Jesus, this Savior, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Our Lord said, when he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God, just as you and I do the same in today's world. Who's Jesus Christ? He's God Almighty in the flesh. What has he done? He saved his people to the uttermost. Where is he now? He sits on his throne this very day because death could not hold him. He says, who do you say that I am? The Son of the living God. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Every one of you. Because the world doesn't know that. The world thinks, just like you and I did at one time before we heard the gospel, that there is a Jesus who wants, a Jesus who desires but is deprived of his desire. Little Jesus. They do not know him as God as you and I do. And that's because of his grace and mercy to us. His love for us before the world ever began. I love that poem that Mike Loveless writes, wrote, Tick Tock, The Ticking of Time. Everything in time must be, because time is governed by our Lord. It says, for he that sanctifieth, over there in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. He is he, this one who is made a little lower than the angels, he is the one that sanctifieth. We are sanctified, set apart, made holy by his works and his works alone. If you try to add anything or take anything away from his works, then you've defiled it. You put his works down. You count his works as unworthy. You trod it under feet. Now turn over to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Just a few pages to the right there, if you would. And I'll try to bring this to a close. While you're turning there, allow me to share with you a few verses on this subject of sanctification. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, we read these words, elect, chosen, predestined, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification, which is the setting apart of the Spirit, unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we read it this way, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification, through setting apart, through being made holy of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Our sanctification, our being made holy, our setting apart can only be found in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Not of you, not of anything you could do, but of Him, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But what perfection. What a perfection we have. What a perfect holiness. What a perfect setting apart. Aren't you thankful it's of Him and it's done right? I know that it was left to me, I'd be just like I was before the Lord saved me, stumbling around, thinking I am something of myself when I'm not. The blood of God paid our price. He paid the price of our holiness. The work of the Holy Spirit is to set you and I apart from all else, to reveal unto us the perfect works of God our Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And all the sacrifices, all the blood spilt in the Old Testament pointed to one thing. It pointed to the perfect works of our Lord. Before I join you in Hebrews 10, allow me to read from John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is what we, the children of the Most High, do. Some think, oh, you know, just go to church on Sundays. That's all you need to do. No, it's not. When God has taken up residence in the heart, in the soul, in the spirit of one of His children, everything about that person's life becomes about our Savior. Maybe not all at first. Some a little quicker than others. But it all comes down to this. We're in Him. And He will have His people. This is what the children of the Most High do. This is what we're doing right now, this very minute. We're lifting up our Savior. We're declaring the truth before men. Any who the Lord has brought in through these doors or allowed us to join us on the internet or maybe here. Did you know Ron Halsey out in Arkansas? Some of you may know him. Remember, he comes for the conferences. He takes the CDs that we send to him, and he takes them down to the post office. First off, he makes copies. I think there's like 5 different post offices. Then he takes them down, like this little one across the way here. There's a big old bulletin board on each one of them, and he puts them up there. Then he'll go back and look. Never is there anything left. Every time he goes back, they're gone. Now, we don't know what the Lord's doing. I'm not trying to say that there's a miracle happening here. But you never know where that CD is going. There was a lady at one time, a couple years back, who approached Ron. She found him putting up one of the CDs or something to that matter, and she approached him. And she got a hold of me. She said, you may recall there was a series of messages that I brought a long time ago about the 9 characteristics of God. She goes, I've got all those except for one. I don't know what, somebody else took it. Can you make me a copy of it? And it just happened to be the very one that I don't have a copy of. I said, I'm so sorry, lady. I'm so sorry. I just don't have it. She goes, oh, all right. She goes, I've worn them all the rest of them out. She goes, I drive around for a living. She drives her car around, does some kind of sales work. I don't know whatever happened to her. She moved off down to Alabama somewhere by the coast to be with her daughter. She was an elderly woman. But you just never know. You never know who the Lord's going to bring through that door or under this internet or pick up a bulletin. Our bulletins go to Canada. Our bulletins go out all over the place. You just never know what the Lord's going to do. We declare that Jesus Christ is the Christ of God, the God-man. We declare His truths before men. He is God in human form. We declare that His cross is sufficient and the work is finished. We declare that the death could not hold Him, that He sits on His throne this very moment, ruling over all things according to the counsel of His will. We declare that He is our holiness. Everything about our salvation is of Him. Salvation is of the Lord. By His grace we are saved, not of our works, lest we should boast. This is why I'm so thankful that my Lord, that sin, the sin that dwelleth in my flesh, yet I am perfect in Him. Look at verse 6 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 10. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Oh, I have to be a better person. Oh, I have to go out and do this. Oh, I have to go out and do that. No. Do I want to? Yes. Do I try to? Yes. But my have to is on my Savior who has done it. He is my sanctification, my holiness, my setting apart. Verse 11, in every piece standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which never can take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Our text says this. You can turn back there if you would like. But for the sake of time, let me get to it for you. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto His wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is my new song. This is the new song of my life, glory to His name, who has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll give you just a couple of verses and then have prayer. Colossians chapter 1. You'll forgive me for going a little long. It's been a while since I've had the pleasure and the honor, and it truly is an honor to stand before God's people and declare my Lord. But the Lord has a message for you this morning. A message for you. John doesn't have a message for anybody. My Lord has a message for you. Look at verses 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in our Lord Jesus, in the Son of the living God, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. You. To present you. Holy. Unblameable. And unreprovable in His sight. Amen.